Take your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter 21. I plan to get down through verse 11, but I don't know if we'll make it much past verse 4. But that's all right, because we'll just pick up next week where we leave off this week. You remember that Jesus had been in the temple, and the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, were trying to catch him in something. They were trying to catch him in something that he would say that they could use against him with the Romans, or they were trying to get him to say something that would cause the people to think of him in an unfavorable way. And so they came and asked him a couple of questions, just by way of review. Hey, is it lawful to pay taxes? And, of course, Jesus said, well, show me a coin. Who's in picture and whose inscriptions on it? And they said, well, it's Caesar. And so Jesus said, well, give to Caesar what's his and give to God what's his. And then you remember they asked a question about the man that married a wife, died childless, his brother married her, and he died. And they were still childless. Seven brothers married that same woman, all died childless. And they asked the question, well, whose wife is she going to be in heaven? And Jesus said, well, you're not thinking about it right. There's no husbands and wife in heaven. But then he went ahead and talked about the real concern about their question about the resurrection. He said, yeah, there's going to be a resurrection. You need to get ready for it. And so he had just finished those encounters where they were trying to get him to say something wrong. And all of that probably took place in the court of women, a court in the temple. And most people think that what happens in chapter 21 happened in that same court. Because it says in chapter 21, verse 1. I'll get it right in a minute. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. In this court of women, there were 13 trumpet-shaped containers in which people placed their offering. They were made out of metal, and so when people put their coins in, they made a lot of noise. And of course, those that were giving so that they would be noticed by men, as opposed to God, would make a big to-do about giving their offerings. They would pour the coins in, and they would make a lot of noise, and people would look to see who was giving their offering. The different containers were the offerings that were put in those containers were used for different purposes, and they were labeled. And so there was one that perhaps was used to buy the incense that was used in the temple. There was one perhaps that was used to buy the wood that was burnt on the altar. And so each container had a sign as to what the money was going to be used for. And there was a regular procession of people that came by and put their gifts into these different containers. So in verse 2, and he saw, and Jesus saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Now, where everybody else wanted to be noticed, this poor widow did not want to be noticed. She was casting in two mites, or two leptas. A lepta was a thin coin worth about an eighth of a cent. And so she was casting in about a quarter of a penny. It was actually the smallest gift that you could give in the temple that was legal. I mean, that was the smallest gift you could give. Now, she wasn't doing that just to out of a stingy heart and say, I'm going to give the minimal amount, the minimal legal amount. She was actually giving all that she had. The word poor actually means that she had to work for a living. And her work did not pay enough to meet her needs. And so as Jesus, in the next couple of verses, is going to talk about her gift, what he's telling the disciples is that she gave all that she had. You see, we find no mention. Jesus was there watching as those that were wealthy put their gifts into these containers. He didn't mention any of them. He didn't single any of them out. He didn't call his disciples over to notice any of them. But in verse 3, he says, he was talking to his disciples. He said, "Of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all." So when he saw this widow casting in her two mites, he called his disciples over and said, "Hey, I want you to see something. I want you to notice something." And that phrase "of a truth," he was drawing attention to what was going on, but it was also a phrase that was used to make a statement that went against popular opinion. It went against what people thought. And so he says, "Of a truth, I want you to notice something. I'm going to say something that won't make any sense to you until I explain it to you. She's given more. This poor widow who works but doesn't make enough to meet her needs, she's given more than every," now notice what he says, "than everybody else put together. She's given more than they all." And he goes on in verse 4 to explain it. He says, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury have cast in all the living that she had." He said, hey, everybody else that's given, they have lots left over. But this lady, even though she's given two mites, and again, her two mites is more than everybody else put together, because I'm not just looking at what is given. I'm not counting up, you know, this guy gave this amount, and this guy gave this amount, and this guy gave this amount, but this little poor lady only gave two mites. Jesus says, I'm looking at what they got left over after they've given. Everybody else that is given has plenty left over. They can go out tomorrow and they can buy plenty to eat. If they need some new clothes or new shoes, they can pay the rent. They have plenty left over to meet all their needs. But this lady has put in everything. She won't eat tomorrow until she works some more and gets some more pay. She won't eat tomorrow because she doesn't have anything left. And Jesus said, that's why I'm pointing her out to you. That's the example that I want you to see. She's given everything. She's going to do without tomorrow. Her stomach's going to be empty. But her soul is going to be full because she's expressed her love for God in a way that none of these other people have. Now, you might say, well, why didn't if Jesus knew that she was given all and was going to be hungry tomorrow, why didn't he stop her from giving? Why didn't he call out to her and say, hey, daughter, thank you for your willingness to give, but why don't you just keep that money so you have something to eat tomorrow? Again, Jesus didn't want to rob her of the blessing. He didn't want to rob her of the blessing that she was going to have from God for giving. God expects us to give the same way. He doesn't count up how much we give. He looks at how much we have left over when we do give. I was thinking about that story of David in the Old Testament. It's told a couple different times. The one I like is in the book of Chronicles, where David decided one day he was going to count all the people that were in his kingdom. And so he sent Joab. He says, I want you to go out and take a census. I want you to count every person that's in my kingdom. Joab, who was usually obedient to the king, said, well, why? Why do you want to do that? What Joab was saying is just a matter of your pride. God give you hundreds of thousands, but why do you need to count them? You just want to count them so you can brag and be proud of how many you have. David said, just go out and count them. So Joab went and counted. Now, he didn't count two tribes. He counted 10, but he came back and gave David the number. And if you remember the story, God was displeased. God didn't want David to trust in the amount of men that he had, number of people in his kingdom. He wanted David to trust him. And so God sent word by a prophet to David and said, what you've done has displeased me. I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have 3 years of famine, you can have 3 months of running before your enemies, or you can have 3 days of pestilence from me. And David said, well, let me fall into the hand of the Lord because he's merciful. I'll take the 3 days of pestilence. And so God unleashed his angel, and the Bible says that 70,000 men were killed by that pestilence. Now stop and think about that. 70,000 men. It was a tragedy what happened in England this week, where I think it was 21, if that's the last number I heard this morning, where 21 people were killed in that terrorist attack. Now just think about it. I mean, we're sad and we're mad and we have a mix of emotions for 21 people and the hundreds that were hurt. But can you imagine if a report came and said there were 70,000 people killed? 70,000 people. And then the Bible says that the angel with his sword drawn came to Jerusalem, came to the capital city of David's kingdom, ready to destroy Jerusalem. And God saw it and said, that's enough. David was right. It's better to be in the hands of a merciful God than it is to suffer famine or be at the mercy of your enemies. And so God sent word by his prophet again to David and said, hey, I want you to go out in such and such a place. It was a place that a man named Ornan, O-R-N-A-N, owned. I want you to go out into his threshing floor, and I want you to set up an altar and worship me, and I'll have the angel withdraw. And so David went to Ornan, and Ornan recognized the king. He saw the angel, and he was hiding, but when David came, he came out of hiding and said, and David told him, what God had told him to do. And Ornan said, well, you can have my threshing floor. You can have my oxen to offer sacrifices, and you can have my plows and my threshing instruments for the wood on the altar. And here's what David said. He said, no, I appreciate your willingness to give it to me, but I don't want to offer something to God that doesn't cost me anything. I want to pay you the full price, because when I offer something to God, there needs to be a cost. There needs to be a cost. I read about a preacher that complimented one of his members because of a large gift that he gave to the church. And the man came to his pastor and said, Pastor, I don't deserve your praise. Because what I gave was no sacrifice. I have plenty of food to eat. I have new clothes to wear. I bought my wife a new car. We go on vacation. It wasn't much of a sacrifice. There are other people in the church that have given more. Maybe not in the amount, but in what they have left over. There's other people that have given more than me. I don't deserve your praise. I've told you this story before, but I think it makes the point of what I'm trying to say tonight. In fact, I told it not too many weeks ago, so you'll think I'm getting old and repeating myself. I know I'm repeating myself, so you don't need to worry. Man went to visit a missionary friend in India, and they were walking down by the river, and the man noticed that there were women down by the river, and it appeared to him that they were taking their children and casting them into the river. So he turned to his missionary friend and he said, what are those ladies doing? And his missionary friend, well, that's the way that they worship God. They take their children and throw them into the river as an offering to their God. That's the way they express their love to their God. And so the man stood there and watched, and he saw a mother with two children, about the same age. One looked very healthy, robust. The other one looked very sickly. And so he watched that mother take the healthy, robust child and throw him into the river as a sacrifice to her God, again, her way of expressing her love to her God. And a man turned to his missionary friend. He said, "Do you think it would be okay if we went and talked to her?" This missionary friend, well, said, "Ladies usually don't talk to men, but we can go try." And so they went down to where she was, and through his missionary friend, he used him as an interpreter. He said, "Ma'am, could I just ask you a question?" And she agreed to answer the question. He said, "I noticed you had two children. One looked very, very healthy, and one looked very, very sick. Why did you throw the healthy one into the river? Why didn't you throw the one that was of poor health, of sick, the one that was sick? Why didn't you throw the sick one into the river? I mean, you're both your children. If you're expressing your love to God, wouldn't your God be as pleased with the sick one as he would the well one?" And the lady said, "Well, you must not worship your God the same way we worship our God, because our God deserves the best. Our God deserves the best. Our God deserves the best." Amen. He looks at not the amount, but the sacrifice that we make when we give. He looks at the love that's behind that sacrifice. And this little lady, who in her anonymity, who thought, "I want to do this so nobody notices. I don't want to draw any attention to myself. I just want to slip these two little thin coins. Won't make a lot of noise like all these other people are making. I'll just slip them in and then I'll sneak out and nobody will ever know what I've given." Down through the years has been an example to everyone that loves God and wants to show their love to God by what they give. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer.